Anything to say?
Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock, and it's time for the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. Oddly enough, this is something that we've been doing now for 57 weeks, and the way I feel, I'm ready to start all over again and do it another 57 weeks.
Yes!
But they're detractors. They want me to go to another book. And you know how those people are. They're just always in the dark shadows of the world. But it has been an absolute joy for me to work my way through this material, let's say on a line-by-line basis, because it has taught me so much. And I feel it's much more part of my life than it has ever been.
Wonderful.
And I've read, over the years, not as much as some people, but I've read a number of times. But I'm so thankful to have been doing this work with you. And it would not have worked. How many people are on right now, Dan?
12.
So there are 12 people, and there's 6 people in this room and a couple of people on the phone. Harry, are you there?
I am.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
And because of the group synergistic effect, we're able to get more data out of it. About a year and a half ago, this is when we were on the previous book, and maybe it was even before that, George, there was, I think it was in the Hidden Work, now that I think of it, there's a conversation in there, there's a paragraph about the teacher showing up. And George and I had a long conversation. Well, what are you going to do? How does somebody that can't be in the physical presence of the teacher, what do they do? And after studying it for a while, and we study the environment that we're in now, only because we're able, as a group, with the shared intentions that we have, we create an atmosphere that creates the space called the teacher.
Living teacher.
The hang on. So now that we've been able to get that most important part across.
That's right.
David, I think that's why it's interesting to note that Tibetan Buddhists add 4 things to the 3 treasures. They add the Lama in addition to the Dharma, the teaching.
So, yeah, in addition to the teaching, the Sangha, we can't do this individually. Okay, we can't, as individual workers, there's only so much we can do. When we meet together, then we literally invoke more. In a sense, we nudge the universe and we say, my intention is to do this. My intention is to work. And I put myself under that yoke. And when I put myself under the yoke, the universe responds back. And there's a response. Heaven moves, in a sense, when they see this sort of gathering take place. There's enough fuel in a situation like this where you can see it completes the fire, the elements that require fire, and then we can be seen. How do you like that? Then you can be seen and notice. Because as individuals, clearly we've tacked our ships off the beaten paths, and we're really okay with that. Because, boy, have we found some hidden trails that have led us to some pretty remarkable treasure, I believe. Do you agree? So anyway, I mean, so that's my spiel on thanking why I have gratitude every Wednesday to be able to meet together with everybody that shows up. You know, George, you've been doing this for 5 years now.
Oh yeah, maybe a little longer, but you know, David, I really wanted to say that what I find is the repetitive returning to this convocation of all those who attend has a way of reinforcing and nourishing the essential self within ourselves, which we're attempting to both become familiar with and to grow into a mature entity in its own right.
Couldn't be better said. That's perfectly well said. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then a couple of weeks ago, I got a call from Harry about a problem that they were studying in their group. And just in the magic of the moment, we were able to discover certain things together. He and his group, in a sense, reached out for help. When you pierce the veil that is always between us, when you pierce the veil and you reach out a hand seeking help from each other, great things happen also at that time. But guess what? As it said in the previous chamber, it says, I will ask. I will ask. And so when I, and we talked about the idea of practicing asking in every way you can, in just small ways, ask somebody. Like I was doing some Diablo. I'm playing Diablo again. And because of my hours, I wind up mostly working on my own. And for weeks, I've been trying to remember to ask Claude how to do a particular thing, which I was able to do tonight. And suddenly, a whole new thing opened up for me. Okay? It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't asked him, but now, like, there's a whole new little parcel that's attached to the world in which I live. And I have a little more elbow room than ever before.
You've added a suite.
I've added a suite of that I can bring to what I happen to do. So when we reach out, and Harry, how did that work for you and your group in reaching out?
Swimmingly, David, we had a wonderful meeting last night. It was surprising, and we all learned something.
If we stay by ourselves, there's a lot of, I mean, if you look at the Philokalia and the Eastern Orthodox tradition, a lot of those guys work by themselves, the desert, the solo desert fathers, and some of the Buddhist and the Indian monks, just in isolation in a particular form. That is one form of work. We've chosen another form of work, and it's work with group. And guess what? We've been able to access that because there's 12 people online, and the people that are here, that's a group. So remember that, and attempt, very hard to do this, but attempt to take it from the theoretical and realize that that's an actual truth. Actually, a group. There was another sad, violent, low-level human event in Copenhagen a few days ago, where some shooters came in and they shot people, and I think it was a shop or a restaurant. I can't remember now. And they interviewed one of the people that was inside the restaurant when this was going on, and the guy said that he hid behind the bar or whatever it was, and then he said this line. He said, "It was like I was in a movie." So in his mind, he couldn't expand his consciousness to realize what he was actually going through. It was like it was in a movie. So don't let this be like it's in a movie. Guess what? This is happening right now. Okay. And you have access to real information together as a group, and we can work together, call each other, connect with each other. It's possible to do. That's just the intro, Patricia.
I'm so grateful for the intro.
Thank you.
Gave me time to be here. I do have to share a couple things, though.
Well, go ahead, and I'm going to turn to where we're headed.
The plane that goes from Seattle to Victoria at this time of the year is liable to hit what they call a few bumps. That means the damn thing goes up and down, with leaving you in the ceiling and the seat, and, you know, several feet below you. Anyway, it was one of those rocky trips. And I made the decision to surrender in whatever best way I could. And I learned a couple of things about that. And one of the aspects of, I always do clear light when I'm flying, because what else is there, you know? But I got this acknowledgement from my body that I was actually sitting in the chair, which was something that any time I tensed up, I lost the awareness of. So I expanded that a little bit to allow everyone in the plane to be sitting in their seats in the chair, so that the whole thing that was moving in that awful fashion through, you know, a bit of time and a little bit of space could be a unified flight. And that changed, for me, that changed my own perceptions of what was occurring. But I also did not experience that when you get off the plane, you go, oh, wow, that was like, what is it? You know, all that kind of chit-chat when people get off a flight that they're really happy to leave the flight. It had none of that kind of hysteria, panic feeling to it when people were, what's the proper word? Deplaning. Yeah. Such a strange word. Anyway, that was one thing, is I realized that it wasn't only my clear light and my care that was in that plane. It was all of us, you know?
And that's... Yeah. Which was not told last week, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you want to...
Well, where is she?
She came and left. But do you want to do that? Or why don't we do it?
A little bit later.
Yeah, do it a little bit later. You'll see it. So what Pat's talking about now is so bang on to this particular chamber and other very important thoughts that I've been having the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Figures.
It's really phenomenal. Because I'm just going to...
Launch in
a little bit, okay? So I work a lot with, you know, I'm a CPA, and so I do financial things with people. And one of the things I do is end-of-life planning from time to time, like estate planning. And... But I've never liked the term, the document that you create when you do estate planning. And did you get a document, Harry, when you had, you did your work recently?
Yes, David. That was a couple of years back. I met with several high-dollar attorneys to produce my last will and testament.
So it's called the last will and testament. Okay. And so I looked at that. And I've looked at many of them over the years. And generally what it is, it's basically saying, I will this to George, and I will this to Sandra, and this goes to my cat, and I will this for my church, things like that. And if you indicate a charitable organization, it's called a bequest in your will. But I kept turning the pages, and I wanted to, where's the testament?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where's the testament? And I could never get to the last page. Where's the testament? And so I started thinking, I want to flip this, and I haven't talked to an attorney about it, and I'm sure I'll be drawed and quartered once I bring this up. But I want to flip the term and call your life testament and last will. And the reason is because the word testify means is a mirror. It's a witness. You are a witness to your own life. And if we witness our lives and we look back on it, one of the things that you start that starts to come to you, start to realize the effect you have on others. Mm. So I didn't know that I'd make it till 7:15 p.m. tonight. You know, I, a little earlier I thought that that was it, maybe around 2 or 3, and then I'd be gone, right? But whatever my life has been up to this moment, I have had an effect on others. Mm-hmm. And so, and George, you'll get this very, very quickly. But you, every moment I am emanating something. Mm-hmm. And my habits are reinforcing that emanation. Mm-hmm. And so if I solidify a particular type of habit, then I am affecting others. I was at dinner with a professional horse trainer, a Olympic-trained rider on Saturday night. It was Saturday evening. And as it turned out, her mother had just died a few months ago. And for some reason, it hit me that if she did certain things now, she could help free her mother. Her dead mother, songs, my dead mother. And she, her work then could have that freeing effect. And those of us that have children or parents, we affect it up and down that ladder of Jacob's ladder. Mm-hmm. We happen to be a focal point for that. So based on that context and what Pat has just said, now let's read this very short chamber as we're getting to very close to the end of this cycle, of reading cycle. And why don't you read a little bit, and then mm-hmm. you, maybe the two of you could read a little bit. Mm-hmm. You'll need the phone, Dan. Can they hear?
Just buffering.
Can you guys hear? George, can you see the...
Yeah, you know, we got knocked off the air, and so it's rebooting, and we can't hear you all on the microphone.
That's correct, David.
And, yeah.
It's buffering right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are our other choices? Well, I suggest we reboot.
Yeah.
Let's reboot.
So we're going to reboot.
There we go. We're back. You're back.
He said we're back.
Oh, we're back now?
Yes, you are. Hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Over the computer.
Dan, hand the phone to... What do you suggest, Marva?
I don't know. If we try to break, we might get to confused.
You decide.
Okay.
Right.
Let's just go down and we'll come back.
We're going to
reboot.
Type it in there if you would.
We're
going to
respawn.
We're going to respawn.
Spawning to part two.
Will be beginning.
Or spanning. Or.
Just because it looks like you've died doesn't let you off the hook.
Miss Jewel, are you available this evening for a little story? you know, our little adventure into Bardo Chamber description?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It'll be like 10 minutes. Is that okay? You've got to go.
Yes, I do.
Or Pat.
Or Pat. I mean,
she doesn't think she can do it. Then we'll do it another time.
Delegating.
It'll be another
David,
time.
David, I have a question for Pat, if I may.
Is it, does it need to be on
is
the
it,
air?
Is it one for the group?
I think so.
Okay,
I
well, not, you, the group's not there yet. We're rebooting.
Okay.
But I'm happy to listen to it.
Are we back on?
Nope, you guys are still rebooting.
I'll tell you what it is, and that is, which chamber is what we're experiencing right now with this thing suddenly stop, and then everything comes to a halt, and we have to do something different, and we completely uprooted. What chamber is that?
Thank you for asking.
Not that, this chamber.
Yes, thank you for asking.
Well, Harry, your point is this ending of the broadcast is kind of like chapter 47. Just be patient, right? And we'll be rebirthed into a new chamber.
There may be other chambers that would be more representative of it.
Right.
That was my question.
Oh.
We're back, and we'll have your question again in a moment.
Yeah.
So that has been saved.
Okay. We're on part two.
Okay, and so we're just, this recording, however, just continued. So we're, from a watching the reruns point of view, this is part two of the same class 57 on where we are actually on chamber 47.
47.
So there you go.
And now we're going to take a question from Harry, or are we going to do the reading of 47 first?
No, let's do the reading of it, and that'll help put it in context.
Yes.
Okay. And, why don't you start?
I'll start.
And then you and Michelle can...
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
47th chamber. It's possible that a womb might appear good or bad, or I might have feelings of like or dislike about one womb or another.
Okay.
Again, I can't trust my impressions in this stage of the labyrinth voyage. And so, the great secret here is to remain perfectly neutral and impartial in a state of high indifference about rebirth.
In this state of high indifference, there is no good, no bad, no desire, no resistance, no approval, no disapproval, no passion, no disgust, no apathy, no aggression. I will just stay pure.
So, thank you. So when I read this, I got confused.
I'm sure you did, David.
So I started poking around, because in the last chamber it says that I'll back off using the power of revulsion and disgust, which was a tool we used previously. We studied the six lower dimensions, and we use our disgust of that to say, I'm not going to go there. What's happening now?
possible that a womb might appear good or bad. I might have feelings of like or dislike. We don't even know anymore what our discernment is. It might be this. It's possible it could be that. It's wishy-washy land. We don't have any distinction of one thing or another. You cannot judge. Your perceptions have gone kaflooey. There's no degree of distinction.
There's no discernment.
Nope.
I can't trust
your perceptions.
My perceptions. So, I mean,
you cannot rely on any of the tools that went before. They're irrelevant now because you don't have the wherewithal to apply them. They're not part of your toolkit any longer. That toolkit was available, and now it's not.
But all these other, on the previous, I mean, there's a whole bunch of previous chambers, and it says, I will do this,
mm-hmm.
and I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
guys,
I will.
The broadcast is ended, so it's rebooting, and we can't hear you.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and that was a great discussion, too, yeah.
Say that again.
Well, it's on the recording.
Great. Yeah, that's right. It's on the recording.
Thank you, George.
No,
well,
I think
here we are again.
Exactly right. Exactly right. What can we say about this? All that we can say about this
there you go. You guys are back on the air.
It is a state of high indifference. That's it. What is high indifference? If you guys have ever watched that movie, it's called High Anxiety, but it's the same thing. The state of high indifference, it is the same thing. The state of high indifference means everything is equal to everything else.
That's right.
There's no significance.
So what tool is the Voyager using to guide at this time?
What you have left. Your habits will carry you through. Well, they've got you here. That's about it. No, the only thing that is left, it says, is purity. What does that mean? What does that imply? Purity. I will just stay pure. What is pure? The first time that word has come up.
Unattached perception, yeah? Unattached observation?
Unattached, for sure. It has to be that, at least that. It's not a discernment. It's not
That's
a
right.
judgment. It's something way, way, way past anything like that. So what is left?
So don't we have words of wisdom from anybody here to get us out of this?
Here we go. Like it says,
White Seer is giving us a helping hand, trying to get us out of this mess. That's it. He's reading and laughing to himself, but he's not telling us that it's...
I'll bet Silverdale has something worthwhile to say.
Well, you know, what's simply going through my mind, of course, is the Voyager's quatrain, right? All phenomenon is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled. Now, these are the words of our essential self speaking. This is not our historical personality. This
yeah.
So, and by this 47th chamber, hopefully our essential self has kind of developed a sense of self, has developed enough sense of personal presence
yes.
to say, hey, all phenomenon is illusion. And... neither attracted nor repelled, making no sudden moves. My habits, and hopefully by the 47th chamber, we've developed some habits that allow us to be highly indifferent. Hey, what can I do about it at this point?
Because the Voyager at this point doesn't have the tools to choose a different womb. That was all the ones before them, right? I'll choose a womb in the teaching and the this and that and all these cool things, right? At this point, the Voyager is no longer able to discern truly or choose or change. This is the moment of dynamic surrender. When the Voyager comes and with powerful surrender.
Guys, you've been knocked off the air again, so we can't hear you.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's just a bumpy ride.
Well, David, there's nothing there to discern and nothing there to do anyway. We've already given that up in the last three chambers.
We've given that up, and yet we know that we're entering into actual rebirth at this point, and at that point, whatever it might be, it's neither good or bad.
You're back on the air.
It's just what it is. I know that on the recording that's going to be on the live stream is going to be bumpy, but the audio recording that I'll post sometime tomorrow will be settled.
It'll have continuity.
It'll have full continuity. So if you'd like to listen to it again, you may just click on that and listen to it. But this is a very dynamic conversation, and I think it's like the crown jewel is we've worked so hard to create this ability to stand in this sparkling objectivity. As we read, there is no good or bad or disgust or like.
Well, the thing that strikes me is the words, I will just, as if it was kind of like casually nothing. I will just stay pure. It's a contradiction that I will just stay pure. That is the most objective form there could be, is the pure form, the unadulterated form, the undiluted form, the form that has only purity. It's the thing that is only itself. The essentialness of the essential self. That's all that is there. So when it says, I will just stay pure, what is the opportunity for you to participate in that? It's got to be recognition that that's the situation, because you've already defined the fact that it's possible that I might want this or I want like that. I can't trust it. It's not going to do me any good. It's just what it is. It's only that, nothing else. So when it says, I will just stay pure, for me, what that implies is it's a continuing, ongoing recognition of the Voyager to itself. Ongoing recognition, not just I get
of the Voyager as a Voyager.
Exactly. So it's not like, oh, I got it. Oof, Pastor,
I want to be. I want to be really clear here that what was read, it says no dislikes, but no likes either.
Exactly. There's no good, no bad.
When we think of, oh, I'm going to be in objectivity and purity, usually you think, I'm going to get rid of all the things I don't like.
Yeah, right. I'm going to be nice.
This is just, and then it's going to be all the things I like will be there, and that's it. That's not what this thing says. It says neither likes nor dislikes. I don't know why I'm having this thought, but I'm going to share it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's an experience that some people have gone through that I myself have not, in which they have almost no choice in that experience, and it was a dynamic experience, very difficult experience, and sometimes very painful, and that's the experience of childbirth. That at a certain point, what are you going to do? I have been at births. I can observe the individual, but I myself didn't go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, it appears that there's only one thing you can do, which is a particular type of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Is this correct?
Well, that's been my experience so far.
Well.
So far. I'm holding out that there could be something else. I'm not denying there could be something else. But my situation, my understanding to date is it doesn't give you an alternative choice.
That's correct.
Is birthing.
You don't have other choices at that moment in that cycle. You don't go, well, you know what?
I'd rather not go through this right now.
I think I'm going to do something else right now. Or why don't we do this tomorrow?
No, I would like you to take over the birthing for me, and I'll leave you handle it, okay?
So that's a situation in physical life that we can see there is only one solution in a sense, and that is this kind of a dynamic surrender to it. It takes all you got, but it's all you got in surrender. And
when we say, I will just stay pure, saying I will just itself means surrender. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're saying, well, I will just is an act of surrender.
It's a gentle phrase, actually, that's been written there. It's not a command. It's just, I will just do this. It's an invitation in a way, too.
Right.
So, but, you know.
It's acquiescence. In a certain way, it's acquiescence to what we know are our resistances to accepting that kind of thing. And it's also, in a certain way, it's encouragement, because it implies, I will just stay pure, that you are pure and you can be pure, and therefore that's what you should do. So it's got two parts to it. It's the giving in, the surrender, and also the encouragement. Yes, pureness. You are you. You are that. So be that. It's helpful.
You can be pure. Is that correct, George?
Unquestionably. And, you know, as I'm following this and listening, I'm thinking, you know, remember, we are triune beings. And so we have the affirming force of our essential self. We have the denying force of our planetary body and historical personality, which is conditioned to live with negative emotions, likes and dislikes. And what we're trying to do is blend those two together so that our essential self becomes the predominant center of gravity for us. And in that sense, I stay pure. Because I've learned to identify negative emotions as valid and valuable part of the denying force while we try to develop our affirming aspect.
And we have a divine particle embedded within us, and if we can stand on that platform for that moment, we can move into this. We are in purity at that time. And it can be in that sparkling clarity of objectivity, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an important part. Thank you, George.
Yeah, and just to follow up on what you just said, particle of divinity is like the sun of our solar system. It emanates throughout the whole of us forever and ever. We have a hard time looking directly at it just because we don't have that faculty. But that is what animates the whole of our life while we get caught up on our little planet Earth taking care of business.
What do you got over there, Dan? Okay.
We'd like to congratulate White Sierra on the birth of her child. And apropos to the comment earlier.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
And thank you all on the broadcast for hanging through the bumpy, choppy weather tonight. And now we can take Harry's question.
Go ahead, Harry.
My question was addressing what has been happening to us right now, namely these interruptions when the technology does something other than what we had wished, and we're discombobulated and things come to a stop and there's an empty place and then we have to do something different or make an adjustment in our attitude to accommodate this. And my question was, what chamber best represents this experience?
Well, I'm going to answer it in reverse order of significance. The first comment that I have has to do with referencing the rebirth station, Labyrinth Games Appendix C, because I'm really hoping we're going to have another couple of sessions on the rest of this book, even after we finish the chambers, and they're going to be on the appendices. I love them. But the one that I'm referring to for this evening to answer that question is number 55, which is called Tweak the Room Slightly Out of Alignment Game. So the point of view of the player in the game is that somehow the game isn't proceeding quite as you planned it. But if you're not the player in the game, you are either the observer or the creator of the game, then the point of view you have about it is the game includes the interruptions and the interference and the restarts and any of the other activities that go on. It depends on what you're holding as the point of view, whether you see what has been occurring in one way or another. So that's comment number one. It's not about a chamber. It's about point of view. Secondly, in the list of the rebirth stations, which is from Appendix C, from the point of view of primordial being, which has a certain kind of resonance with all of the chambers, flip-flop jellyfish-like creature suspended in space, continually and compulsively changing form every moment or every eternity, occupied by cells within, conforming to cave of ancient, silent, screaming, continual change, is torture to this being who wants help of occupants of each cell.
Nice.
So that's another take on what is happening when things don't appear to be going along in a coordinated fashion, or you could call it a choreographed fashion. And then if you look at the work of Martha, what's her name? Dance person, American
Martha
dance.
Graham.
Martha Graham.
Right.
And you see her presentation of, quote, disjointedness as part of the grace of any chamber, the function of which is to show the flow, but not necessarily in a artificial manner, but in something more genuine, then by definition, things that are interrupted and stop and start and not all one continuous motion are in some ways much more genuine to the now than what we usually perceive as our common cause and common, what word is that? Common, something presence, oh man. Thank you. Yes, that one. Yeah. So you don't necessarily observe what is real in a moment if what you're looking for is continuity. That maybe isn't the way to see. Maybe you have to have eyes that this disjointedness and what we label as shutdowns and restarts is not that. It's not that's not the picture that we need to open our eyes to.
The if your point of view is external, you will have starts and stops and flip-flops of fish and back and forth. If it's external and you're playing off the external clues to who you are, you will be like a fish flopping around. But if you can stand in the silence of yourself, then you can just observe what's unfolding in front of you and you just find it curious.
And now to give you my third answer, which was my first answer, but I didn't want to give it without giving the other two before it is. Any chamber has that as one of its components. It's how you perceive the chamber that will decide where your emphasis is. How you perceive what's occurring is dependent on where you're coming from,
correct,
not what the chamber is delivering. So every chamber has that component as part of it. Because as a voyager, that's going to be your experience.
Very interesting answers. Thank you.
This is a...
Thanks for the question, as always.
This is a good chamber to kind of work with as a mantra as well. You know, it's something
mm-hmm.
you can
and
write
not
down.
This, not that.
And you can carry it around in your pocket, pull it out during the day and read it. It's short enough that you can read it. And you'll notice that particularly in those last couple of sentences, you'll start to feel the poetry of it that lifts you somewhere else. Because the writer could have just stated the concept.
Yeah.
But there's this sing-song of back and forth as he took the extra time to write down what he did,
mm-hmm.
where he goes, there's no good, there's no bad. No desire, no resistance, no approval, no disapproval, no passion, no disgust, no apathy, no aggression. And if you actually read that, it'll start to float into you and allow you to stand in that position. Then you go about your day. Just carry it around in your purse or in your pocket. You know, I usually put it just in my pocket, and then I get surprised by it during the day.
Mm.
And I pull it out and read it.
Mm.
Nice, huh?
It also reminds me of the Greek chorus. What's the purpose of the Greek chorus?
Well,
you know that one.
Well, it's expressing the voice of the community. All of the all.
So if you have four or five voices that are stating this in unison, and you're hearing it as the chorus, that's a perception of you as a part of all that is being said, but slightly distinct from, because you can hear it. So it's one way to hear all of these things. We used to, at our Sunday dinners, we would have all of us sit at the table and speak the clear light in unison. 20 or 30 voices in unison. And that has a potency. What have you got there?
So it also reminded me of the opening lines of The Tale of Two Cities, where Dickens goes on and goes, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. And in all of that, as the book unfolds after that, there's a different place to stand. The storm pushes you about, but something else can be a place to stand.
And Whitefear has a question. What if external situations drive you so mad that you react aggressively?
Well, this now, the question you should be asking yourself at that time is, what chapter of Practical Work on Self applies right now? So the external situations, I don't want to minimize them because sometimes they are very difficult and the strategy that you have to bring to it is complex because your machine is going to react. When a particular event occurs, your machine reacts, like we've all told stories of FedEx drivers and people honking at us and things and how we reacted. And then you know you're going to react again. And as I've mentioned many times, Spinoza says there's nothing in that reaction that's going to get you out of it. There's nothing in the dance between that external react situation and you that's going to get you out of it.
Yep.
But because you're observing it, it means that you are not part of it. It means I am not that.
There's separation.
Because you've created a separation just because of your great effort at observation. So because you can observe it, that means there's a little teeny toehold that says, I know I'm not that. And guess what? It's going to happen in your case later today, because she's already day, she's in India, later during the day. It's going to happen. But so bring tools, get a tool belt and put a tool belt around you. And the tool belt you can take is, one tool you can take is just a word, I am not that. Another tool belt you can say is this clear light of objectivity that Pat has been showing us. Take that in there. And
most of all, do not give yourself a hard time about it. There's no point. That's just ego. Let it go. See it. That's it. But don't hold on to it. Oh my God, what do I do? La, 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 la. Just let it go.
Judgment.
It's going to happen, and that's that.
Judgment will hold you in the situation.
Don't give yourself a hard time about it.
Because one of the things to observe in that situation is yourself.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, look, I freaked out.
There I am.
I got pissed off.
I'm doing the stupid thing again. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, look at me doing it again.
And again, and again. So
how funny that is. And
don't give yourself a hard time about it. That's first.
It's just like we were saying, I was listening to the broadcast over the weekend, and at one point EJ was saying, of course you can practice guitar 5 minutes a day. And he says, if you don't think you have 5 minutes a day, let's talk about it. But after a long bit of time, the ends of your finger starts to form calluses. But the first time you do it, you realize, you say to yourself, this is impossible. That's incorrect. It's just noting the sensation on the ends of your fingers. It hurts. And then after a week or two, it's slightly less. Not the next day or the fourth minute, but maybe after a week or two. And guess what? Let's say that you get to a place of this discernment where you're sitting in that space and there's no like and there's no dislike and you're not reacting. That's a great prize. And isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth a stretch to do that? Boy, because if you can get to that place, it's worth a stretch. And if you can't, it's just one more observation. But it's being presented to you. Your situation is being presented to you because the angel comes and wrestles with you because it knows you can handle it. And at this point, when the voice of despair comes up and says, I can't, I get upset, da-da-da-da, and they're jerks and stuff like that. That's what's being laid out on the table of the meal before you. What do you got, Dan?
Mike Sear says, yes, David, starting saying, I am not that. Thank you.
That's a powerful tool to take into such an event. even though the next time it occurs, maybe in 2 hours or whatever, 3 hours, you think you're faking it. I just said I didn't even mean it. But it has an invocational tone because we talk about it in a profound manner in the classes on Sunday, in this class tonight, and that profundity of this group will walk with you into that space. That's the point of group work. You know, there's a little teeny bit of your mind should know this entire group is with you when you go into that space. Is that correct?
Totally. Absolutely. It's like everyone is on that plane with you. You're not sitting in the chair alone. You're not a solo flyer. You are with a group, and makes a difference. You make a difference for the group, and the group
That's
makes
right.
a difference for you. It's a mutual, reciprocal, greater than symbiotic organization, and it operates on the best of the principles of biology and physics. It operates under the law, which basically means for the greater good.
These are the best of times.
There you go.
And the
Gee, that guy
time.
Must have had something going on.
I think he read this.
Yeah, I
yeah,
agree.
Almost positive he must have read this.
He must have.
Kind of stole it and stuff.
So do we have time for one little thing?
I don't know, Dan?
Just a couple of comments. Muscle Spark was suggesting the Pond chapter from Practical Work on Self.
Yay.
And Weissier says that she doesn't have the book yet.
I know.
Ivan. Hawk Lady is asking what time on Sundays?
12 noon Pacific
time.
Standard Time. And we have people from far away as... let's see, who comes to that? People are from the Canary Islands come. It's a little place in the middle of the ocean that Columbus stopped on before he headed to the Bahamas for vacation. And there are lots of other things happen. But and people are from there, from Spain, and as far away as distant India.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 12 noon, Sundays, in Second Life, and if you come there and you see me, I can give you the teleport that Carmen is the one, or Nortiana is the one that can tell you where it is. I just show up.
You just get teleported.
I get teleported
yeah.
there by my machine.
We all get teleported to where we need to be.
Pat, and you had a couple of closing remarks?
It's a suggestion.
So some people know I've been working with a impediment in my shoulder for a couple of months now, and I've been taking in the local physical therapy resources. And the first time I went to see one, they, you know, tested everything, and then they suggested a couple of exercises. And they were very similar to something that I do in singing. So I said to the woman, do you mean this? And I did what we do in singing, which is basically sit at the end of the chair and roll the shoulders while you're making this sound. And she says, yeah, that's great. And I said, you mean if I just did my daily music exercises that I'm supposed to be doing, it would help my shoulder? Yes, that would be correct. So, all right, that's a couple of weeks ago. 2 days ago, I went to see my yoga teacher. And I'm showing her all the things I can now do, and she's showing me some other things that I can do. And so we're agreeing, yeah, the shoulder's better, and I can do some more things. So we do the whole sequence. You know, yoga people, at the end of it, they're always doing a prayer. All right, so you do the thing with the prayer. You got your hands here. You got them on your heart, right? You stick your thumbs on your sternum. You stick your thumbs into your sternum. And then you stick your sternum into your thumbs. And what happens? That's for you all to take with you. Because... if you put your thumbs on your sternum and your sternum sticks out your thumbs, you will realize something that I'll bet you don't know about doing this physical machine actually is responsive to the instruction that you give it, even to the smallest thing. So you can learn a lot. I learned a lot. I am learning a lot. That's what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Excellent. How are we doing over there, Dan? We're okay. So that's it for tonight. Thank you for coming.
47th chamber.
Wow. Goodness gracious.
Yay.
And we'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Or on
7
Saturday.
O'clock.
Sunday.
Well, that's a different thing altogether.
All together.
In a way.
Oh, go need that choice.
Thank
good
you,
night.
David, Pat, Ivan.
Good night.
Thank
night.
You, David, Pat, Ivan.
Bye-bye.